had the recorder itself plugged into the computer, which caused this ugly humming buzz noise. And now we're 20 minutes later, and I think I got it all sorted.
Very good.
Your patience. I appreciate your patience. I talk a lot about patience on my Instagram and in other places like YouTube, and here you are exercising great patience, and I thank you for waiting.
Oh, it helps me get through my day.
Patience always helps, doesn't it?
I agree.
I wanted to say this because, you know, you are the very first returning guest on this program, and I remember when we did the first interview, and I don't even know if you can call it really like an interview. I feel like it was just a conversation amongst a couple of old friends. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, like how we were able to literally talk for the very first time, never talked ever before, and it went super well, so much so that this is one of the episodes that people talk to me about the most from this show is you. So that is why you are back here. Plus, it's nice to catch up with you. It's been a while.
Well, it has been. I hope that you had a good Christmas and New Year and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, everything went really well. Spending it with some family. How about you? How was your holidays?
Same. Family and a lot of beach time because it's really hot here this time of year. So
explain that to me, because I think we were catching up at some point a couple weeks ago, and you were like, it's like really warm here. And I'm like, I'm trying to think to myself, like, what does that mean? Because you guys, now, first of all, you guys have, like, we have, what is it, Fahrenheit here? And don't you guys do Celsius over there?
We do. So actually, the other day, it was 47 degrees Celsius, which I converted was 116 Fahrenheit.
Okay. See, so that's the thing. So, like, I got, even though the 46 number is, that's low. Like, when I hear just numbers, that just sounds low to me, by the way. But I was just like, we were talking about it, and I'm like, the hell does she mean it's hot over there? And I'm like, it's the middle of December. Okay, here in Virginia, I'm freezing my ass off. Like, it is, like, the last week, it's been like 10 degrees outside. And that's not even an exaggeration. Once you get the wind chill in, I mean, like, it's bad. Like, do you guys ever have, like, winter over there? Ever?
Where I am, not really. Like, we have our version of winter, but it's sort of like, I imagine it's what winter is like for people that live in Florida.
Okay, and is that not, yeah, do you guys have like a winter at a different part of the year? Like, is this not winter now?
So winter is from June to August.
June? hold on. That's so backwards to me. Is that because you're like on the other side of the planet? Like, what is the story with that? Explain that to me.
I have no idea. It's just how I work. So, our summer goes from December to February.
Oh,
and our winter is from June to August.
That is so ass backwards.
Or the best time of year in Sydney, I think, is actually spring. September through to November. It's still really warm, but it's not unbearable. Summer can get unbearable.
Oh my God. I'm trying to wrap my head around this at this point. I'm like, wait a minute. Your winter is in my summer and my summer is your winter. What? What's going on here?
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually got two summers this year, last year, because I went to the UK.
Okay.
During their summer, which is really not that warm anyway.
Okay.
But I went to the UK during their summer, and then I came home and I got another summer. So
my God. I mean, chasing the sunshine. I just imagine where you live. This just sounds amazing to me. Like, it's Christmas and let's go surfing or something. Like, this sounds amazing. Well,
I went swimming on Christmas Day. That's pretty much how we do it. Yeah. Christmas is, for us, it was at my sister's place, and it's generally sort of have some food, have a swim.
Sure.
And the food I find is generally different, unless you have English parents, in which case you tend to do the traditional.
Sure.
Sort of Christmas dinner. But for most people who are born and raised here, whose parents were born and raised here, it's like meats and salads and seafood.
I don't do seafood. People think I'm so weird. Am I weird? Can you like clear the floor here? Am I weird? For not
having
seafood?
Weird, but not because of the seafood thing.
Okay. Well, how am I weird? What is it like? What have you seen online that makes you think I'm weird?
Honestly, I just think you're quirky, and I quite like that. I like people that don't fit inside a box. I think I spent a great deal of my life trying to fit in, and I realized when I was 25 I just was never going to fit in.
Yeah.
I'm not that girl. I'm not the run-of-the-mill girl next door. And so I now live by the philosophy, why try to fit in when you were born to stand out?
I love it. I love that. You know, for people that, I mean, for like the two or three people that listen to this podcast that are on Instagram that don't follow you because you have a lot of followers, like, you've got so much motivation over on your profile at Hopeful Ray of Sunshine, RAE of Sunshine. You have so much motivation over there. Like, do you realize, and like, it's grown, by the way, since the last time we talked, you've been growing your following because people, they're watching your stories, they're looking at your posts, they're getting inspired. I mean, you are amazing.
Thank you.
You really are amazing. I have to tell you this because I'm telling you right now, I've interviewed you before. Well, we've talked before, and so many people hit me up about this interview. I mean, it's crazy.
I've had quite a few people actually follow me and send me a message telling me that they'd heard me on your podcast, and that's why they follow me.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it's really nice. And it's nice because a lot of my weight loss followers before were only surgical, and now I find a lot of people who are doing different methods of weight loss follow me because of you. It's great.
Because of me. Oh, stop. They're following you for you. Let's make that perfectly clear. They're coming to Hopeful Ray of Sunshine and being inspired, which you do so well. That's why I followed you. I'm just like, man, this woman is inspiring people. Can't get enough.
I just think you got to do you. Anytime you try to pretend to be like somebody else or to do something that somebody else does, it's not successful because it's not genuine.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to be honest, there are people that I follow and I love their posts, but I don't watch their stories.
Okay.
Because it's sort of like you can watch an Anne Hathaway performance and she's a great performer, but I don't like to watch her getting interviewed because I don't connect with her.
Okay.
And so it's sort of like I like looking at certain people's posts, but not necessarily their stories. And it flips the other way too, where I like watching certain people's stories, but their posts are just run of the mill. And I think it's because we all have different ways that we can convey who we are and what it is that we're doing on sure. social media. And for me, stories has always been easier. It's always been easier to talk. I'm a hopeless texter. So, as you yourself will know, like you'll send me this message about something and I'll send back like three words.
This is very true. I can vouch for this, by the way. But if I can give you definitely some credit and compliment you, it's with this. And that is, I think one of the times I was replying to one of your stories saying, hey, I've been there. I feel that. And it was one of those things you're talking about. It's like a block of text and you hit me back with like a video response. And this inspired me to do more video in interacting with people. True story.
I do it a lot. And to be honest, it started because I am a really bad texter.
Right.
And it's just easier for me to send a video and be able to talk. But I also think that it's easier for things to not get misconstrued.
Sure.
You know, I think we interpret text with our own tone.
Oh, God, yeah.
Whereas with video, you see me when I'm saying it. So unless, you know, you're doing that mum thing where she thinks you're talking back, but you're really not.
Yeah.
Unless you're watching it with your mum glasses on, I think you're okay.
Sure. No, I feel you on that. I think that's accurate because when you see the video, you can really see kind of where that person, like the, what is the word? Like the movement of how they're, you know, how they're moving, how they're talking. There's a word. It's just escaping me at the moment. There's probably people like 10 people screaming. They're probably screaming at their phones. Like you meant to say this, you know? So look, it's been, I mean, I want to say it's probably been about 2 months since you've been here. How has things progressed for you? How have you come closer to any goals you may have had? I mean, what is kind of, Rachel in a nutshell in the last 2-3 months since we've spoken?
Yeah, I think it's been about 3 months.
Okay.
I've actually worked, I've started working a lot on the physical side of things, exercise side of things, because
great.
The last time I spoke to you, I was not particularly great at that.
Yeah, I think you were just learning, like, I might be screwing the story up here, and please correct me, but I think, like, you were, like, just starting to, like, go, like, grocery shopping and enjoying it. Like,
yes,
you were, yeah,
yes,
I remember.
Yeah. All the little things that you can do that don't make you exhausted anymore. I went Christmas shopping with one of my best girlfriends, and we literally walked 8 kilometers in a day. I don't know what that is in miles, guys. I have no idea. Over 5 miles.
I'd ask Siri, but she's probably asleep behind the wheel.
Well, I know that 5 kilometers is just under four miles. So, okay. You know, work it out yourselves.
Yes.
But we'd actually done, you know, over 10,000 steps, just grocery shopping. And I had done it all without having to sit down or work Christmas shopping.
Right.
I didn't have to sit down. I didn't have to rest. I was exhausted, but that was more because there was like a million people everywhere. But yeah. Stuff like that just blows my mind, because that's when it makes a difference for me.
Yeah.
But I've started doing park run. Do you guys have park run in the States?
If we do, I am so unaware, and I'll let the listeners in the States correct me on this. I think you and I discussed earlier, we'll kind of go with like a loose format, so we'll go back and forth. But I remember, you know, before where I was, you know, terrified to, like, the thought of like a 5K scares me, and maybe that's similar to your park run. But for the listeners of the podcast, I just signed up, registered for a 5K race in April. So much like you, you're doing the park run, which I would imagine it's got to be somewhat similar. It sounds like it, right? I mean, based on the pictures you posted.
Yeah, so park run is a weekly 5K.
Okay.
And it is run by volunteers. I don't know whether it's worldwide. I feel like it is a worldwide thing. I definitely know that it's in Australia and in the United Kingdom, because I've done it in both.
Okay.
And basically what it is every local area runs their own. You run the course, you get timed, and the object of it is to beat your time. Now, to be completely honest, I don't so much park run as I park walk.
Okay.
Because, you know, I can't run 5Ks yet, but I figure I couldn't walk 20 meters before, so I'm doing all right. And so I do it, and it's actually been really great. I started doing it. I did it once in Wales when I was with my best friend, but then I came back home, and one of the girls in the Sydney weight loss community really wanted to do it.
Right.
And she walked it with me the first week, and then she wanted to run it. So a different girl from the weight loss community came and walked it with me. And then a different one the week after that. And it's just, it's a really great way to get your steps up. It's a really great way to get community involved. And you control the impact of the workout.
Sure.
If you want to run and give it your everything, great. Because there are serious runners that do this.
Yeah.
But if you just want to chill and walk the 5Ks and be involved in like community, then it's also really good for that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I've been using this app, Couch to 5K. I've been hearing a lot about this. I'm sure, you know, you're very much active in the Instagram community. I'm sure you've heard of it. I would throw that your way and say, if you ever decided you wanted to up it a little bit, I literally just started last week, and it's blowing my mind, because my big ass could not run for any kind of sustained period of time until I got on this app, and now I'm able to run for a minute and a half without stopping, which is pretty groundbreaking in my life.
I have it on my phone. I downloaded the app with good intention. I have not opened it since I downloaded it.
You're halfway there, Rachel.
But it's on my phone now, so that counts.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's been great. Like the parkrun thing was how it started for me.
Right.
And now it's, you know, there are people that are never miss a Monday. I've become never miss a Saturday.
That's awesome, though. Everybody's got their day. Like, I've seen this so often online where people, you know, I think so often they see different people and they want to kind of emulate what somebody else is doing. And I've always kind of been of the opinion of, you know, it's great to want to try different things, think different ways, but I would never advocate like directly copying off what other people are doing. It's like, I could see people on my Instagram that can run full 5Ks and I don't feel comfortable with trying that yet. And I'm like, you know, stay in your lane and just keep getting better until you're comfortable. Because I think what happens so often is when we try to get behind what somebody else is doing, and if we fail at what that is, I think mentally it breaks us down and makes us just want to quit. So I think you really got to just take it at your own speed.
Yeah, it comes back to just do you.
Yes. You just simplified it in two or three words right there. I'm sitting here on some long-winded thing, and you just like three words, boom, there it is.
I was like that. Like, I have friends that do hardcore gym workouts, and I've been quite honest with them that I don't think that's me. I don't think that's ever going to be me. I never say never, but right. I don't think it will be. I'm not really a CrossFit kind of girl, but if you want to go and swim 5Ks with me, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
I'll do that. You've got to find the things that – find your strengths. Find the things that you enjoy and work on those. And I've just started yoga.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it because I've found a version that can be done for – because, you know, I'm still – I actually got told by somebody last night that I'm no longer allowed to refer to myself as a bigger girl. I'm still plus size. That was a nice little maneuver around it. I'm still plus size, so a lot of the yoga poses are difficult, and particularly because I have excess skin, it's hard to get your body into certain poses.
Yes.
But this is specifically for women of size.
Okay.
And they give you different versions that you can do depending on your strength, your flexibility, and your body, your range of body movement. And I'm loving it because it feels relaxing. You're working out for, say, 45 minutes an hour, but you don't feel like you're working out. You sort of walk away feeling refreshed. And again, it's not for everybody. You know, there are some people that feel like if they're not hardcore sweating, they've not done a proper workout.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm usually hardcore sweating by the end of the 45 minutes. So.
I feel you. No, sometimes, like, I think the biggest block for me is on Sundays when I do my weightlifting, well, I don't even know what I call it, like weightlifting. It's not like what you think of, like, you know, bulking up. I'm talking more like the weight machines at the gym, like to tone up. And I'll get done with an hour of that and I won't feel a thing. And like, I'm just like, damn, let me just go run on a treadmill for 10 minutes or get on the stairs for 10 minutes so I can feel like I did something. You know, it's just tough.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's that. I think it's that idea of what we think exercise is supposed to feel like.
Right.
It's supposed to feel like work when really it's not. It's, you know, if we all moved the amount that we're meant to move daily.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
Energy out, energy in.
Exactly. I think for me, it's always just been like a mental thing, you know, like, and I stopped this, by the way, but I would, you know, it's like I said, I would go there, I'd do the weights for an hour, and then, you know, after I'm done with the weights, I'm like, all right, time to go run on the treadmill or get on the stairs because I feel like I did nothing, and it makes me feel awful, you know, like it's just this mental thing. But, you know, the toning, it's like that's stuff that you're not going to see for quite a while, you know, you got to be quite a while into it.
The resistance. I see, I'm not big on weights, but I do like resistance training and toning.
Yeah.
I actually did a photo shoot with a friend yesterday, and I was at one stage trying to get her at a certain angle, and I basically used all my core muscles. I've sat down but moved my body in a way so that my body's half up but my legs are half up to balance me.
Right.
And she's just looked at me and she's like, that's core training right there. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Couldn't have done that a year ago.
Exactly. It's amazing, too. Like, I mean, what you can do, you know, after, like, I mean, I think about this time last year. I mean, just think about that in your own perspective. Like, what were you like this time last year? And then just think, like, holy crap, look at how far I've come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't imagine that I would ever have been the person that wanted to do parkrun.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, I come home from parkrun and I'm soaked in sweat.
Right.
Like it works me hard. But it's good too. Like the first few times I couldn't walk for the rest of the day.
Right. I feel you.
It was amazing. You know, like where you're literally crawling because your feet are killing you or your legs are killing you. Yeah. I was like, oh, why did I do this?
You've done the park run. Is there anything else in the last couple of months as far as like, you know, kind of new ground that you've broken within your kind of weight loss journey? Like, you know.
I'm just thinking. It's more the increase of exercise. I fell off the wagon completely over Christmas.
Me too.
I overindulged.
Yes.
I did big time. But I actually started, but it actually made me rethink things because I just got so sick of seeing people on Instagram saying, oh, you know, I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm doing the wrong thing. And in the end, I just sort of went, you know what? I'm giving myself that week.
Yeah.
And to be completely honest, the 7 days became about 12. But
it's a thing, though. I'm sorry. It's just that thing, though. It's like, you know, people, they want to tell on themselves that, like, hey, I did something bad. And I want to apologize for this. And I'm like, what are you apologizing for? Like, especially if you're a few months in or you're almost a year in and like you just think about all the progress you made. Like, is one week really going to set you back so far that you've got to kind of go on this apology tour and apologize to me? And I'm not trying to insult anybody who does it. I'm just saying I don't get why. It's just like, you know, own it. Hey, this is what I'm doing. Shop's closed up for a week. I'll be back after the new year, pretty much. That's how I see it.
That's how I see it too now. But I think for a long time, I had a lot of guilt about food. And
okay.
I felt quite dirty about food. You know, food was a dirty little secret. And
yes.
And I did a story once that I got a lot of reaction to, which was I told the story of why I felt like I gained a food addiction.
Right.
And it dates back to, I was a ballerina in my youth. To look at me now, you would not think that. I was very, very slim and I had to work very, very hard to do that. I did not have the natural body for a ballerina. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mum coming home from grocery shopping one Thursday night and I'd just come in from dancing and she had bought a tray of strawberry donuts.
Okay. That sounds good, by the way.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And I was that girl that, and by my own choice, not my mother's choice. My mother supported me in it, but by my own choice, I ate a very low-calorie diet. I ate very clean food before there was such a thing as clean food. And I remember taking the donut and sitting in the bathroom with the door locked and sitting on the floor eating this donut And I've often said that if I could go back and change one thing in my life, I would still eat the donut. I just wouldn't do it in the bathroom with the door locked because that was the moment that I made food dirty.
Yeah.
I made food a guilty, horrible little secret.
I'm with you.
And I think it was the moment that the addiction was triggered because I felt like it was part of me that I couldn't share with other people because – you know, particularly when you're being commended for doing so well, and it's sort of like you just, yeah, I just remember going, like, thinking about it and thinking if I could go back to that girl, and I would have been maybe 12 or 13,
yeah,
and just shaking her and going, you know what, honey, it's okay to have a donut. Balance is okay. It's completely natural to want to have sweet and to work so and because I've worked so hard at dancing.
Yeah.
And you know, but I had gotten myself into a mindset where it was shameful. It was shameful to want to indulge. And I take that away now. I take away that shame And I feel like it filters into our lives. You know, I will pick up on people who talk about how disgusting their before pictures were. Yeah. And I'm like, no, hang on. Because no matter what, that person chose to become the person you are now.
Yeah.
We give that person credit for making that decision and taking that step. And we look at that photo rather with disgust. We look at that photo with pride that person knew that they needed to make a healthier life for themselves. And I do my best to incorporate that with my nieces in particular, I think, because I don't want them growing up hating their bodies. You know, one of my nieces is 7. Actually, she turned 8 yesterday.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday. Belated.
When she was 6, she said to me, "I have fat thighs."
Right.
She was 6.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her and said, "No, honey, you don't have fat thighs. You just have thighs."
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thought for somebody at that age.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, I do remember when she was 3 because my sister, her mum, and I were a very similar build back then. And I remember her when she was 3 saying she couldn't wait to be older so she could have a belly like Mummy and Rachel's. And I've just looked at her and I'm like, in my head going, I don't want her to have my belly. But I'm like, whatever belly you have, honey, we will love you for it.
I feel you on that. You were talking about the going in the bathroom and hiding the donut. God, this is difficult to share, but you know, there was a time for a couple of years. I want to say this was like probably 14 to 16, 2014, 2016. I would have this thing where if I was at somewhere where they had like a catered food or, you know, it was just like all you can eat, whatever. And probably when work catered in food once or twice, you know, I would actually like go in after lunch with, you know, my big jacket on and stick, you know, something in my pocket to have so nobody would see. Or like if they had like cake for everybody, I'd go in, I'd wait till everybody had gone in and got everything after I had my thing. And I'd go back after I knew everybody was gone and I'd go in there and I'd just grab a, you know, it's a little bit bigger than a bite, not quite like a full slice, and just throw it in my mouth and you know, try to get it down quickly. And I was just thinking to myself, my God, what is wrong with you?
You know what? You're not alone, Gary. I used to do it too.
Yeah.
I used to do it as well. And to be honest, sometimes now, even if I had the stomach space, I would probably do it even now sometimes. It's an addiction, and I think that's where the I feel like that's where the ignorance comes in, and that's where the fat shaming comes in, is that people don't understand that it really is an addiction.
It really is.
Just as difficult to overcome as smoking or drinking or drugs, even more so, because you can live your life without smoking or cigarettes. Like you can live your life without smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol or doing drugs. You can survive without that. You can't survive without eating.
Yeah.
And it's basically like saying to yourself, here, have a little bit of heroin each day.
Oh yeah. I feel
that little bit, you know, it's really difficult. And I actually, the best I ever heard it explained was there's a book called, don't be thrown by the title, there's a book called Good in Bed.
Okay.
And but it's actually about a plus size woman who's also a journalist, and her ex-boyfriend writes an article called Good in Bed. But she's doing this drug trial so that she can lose weight. And the doctor says to her, you walk into an office and you have just had this full, nutritious breakfast. You're full, but there's a tray of donuts. Do you have one? And she's like, well, what kind of donuts? And he's like, see, it shouldn't matter because you should be full and not want to have them. And she's like, but it does matter. And realistically, I used to do that. Even now, I'm not big on eating in front of a lot of people.
Sure.
I'm just always, I know they're probably not, and I know it sounds really paranoid, but I always feel like people are watching me when I eat.
Oh, God,
I know My family does, but it's more because they're amazed at how little I eat.
Right. They want to make sure you're getting something in as opposed to how much you're having.
Exactly. But I actually, it's a thing where I prefer to catch up with friends for coffee than a meal.
Yeah.
But it's a food addiction thing still. Like if I know that I'm eating at home, my food's dished up to certain sizes.
Yeah.
If I'm going to a restaurant, I will pick and pick and pick at whatever's left on that plate. Even if I'm not hungry, I'll pick at it.
Yeah.
And so I have one of my good friends, Stacey, and I, we are very good at now when we go out for lunch, we'll get that point where we're both full. We'll share whatever we're having. And I'll look at her and I'll go, are you done? And she'll be like, yeah. And we pick it up and we move it to the other end of the table. Because the food addict in both of us will keep going even though we're full.
Oh, I feel you.
And when you have a sleeve, you feel like you're going to be sick.
Yeah.
But you still keep going. It doesn't stop the urge of that. You know, it
doesn't rewire the brain.
Exactly. Bariatric surgery takes away the ability to eat, but it doesn't take away the want.
Yes.
Or the necessity of eating, or the desire, or the food addiction in general.
Yeah, that's tough. And you were mentioning something briefly about over Christmas, I guess, you know, overindulging a little bit. I'm with you. Like, I was injured for a week, and I'm not trying to make an excuse, but, like, I was told not to work out. And I
remember. There was a lot of sad face selfies that week, Gary.
There was a lot of sad face selfies. And truth be told, though, I was off plan, whatever you want to call it. Not that I really – I mean, my diet in particular is not really a bunch of a diet. It's more portion control. But I was definitely, you know, eating a little bit more than I normally would. And it was difficult because when I was ready to go work out again, you go back – you're like, all right, new week, let's do it, and you're trying to readjust. Like, I was good in the gym. I had no problem there, but it was, like, the food and trying to retrain that brain because the brain, like, it was like, oh, mama and dad's out of town. You get the house to yourself. Let's throw a freaking party. And that's what it was like for a whole week. And then I told myself, okay, week's up, back to the plan, and it took me another week to really get back on truly to the plan. It was tough.
It is tough. See, because I have such limited amount of space in my stomach, I didn't overindulge in terms of portion size, but what I ate had absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever.
Yeah, I feel
none.
You on that.
I literally had a moment where I thought, do I have chocolate chip cookies for breakfast? or do I have shortbread?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was both were completely full of butter and sugar and offered me no nutritional value, although I will argue that biscuits contain milk, so there's some calcium in there somewhere.
Biscuits. Amazing.
Absolutely no nutritional value. And, I mean, the shortbread won out. I'm gonna be honest. I mean, the shortbread is
over
incredible.
Chocolate chip cookies?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Have
what?
You never had – okay. You have to have Walker's shortbread. Do you guys get Walker's shortbread?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, see, that's why. That's why you're going chocolate chip cookies, man.
I love chocolate chip cookies. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I love chocolate chip cookies, but chocolate chip cookies are like an everyday cookie, whereas Walker's shortbread is something I only ever buy at Christmas.
Okay.
So, it's an indulgence. It's more expensive. You know,
fair
you
enough.
Savor every bite. And it's mostly because it tastes like... Every mouthful is like the perfect combination of sugar and butter.
It does sound amazing. I will tell you this. I know over break, and I'll just say it now because to hell with it. There were at least two or three days where I had like pie and ice cream, and there was brownies in there one day, and I couldn't help myself. I let it go, and you know, no crap, I went up 8 pounds, and I'm not mad, though. It's like... Here's the thing, Rachel. So many people are walking around like there's a deadline on this weight loss thing, right? Like, what's the deadline? Like, this is a lifestyle. Why is everybody pretending like there's some manufactured deadline that they have to meet by this certain point. Like, it's great to have goals, and I'm good with it, and maybe you feel like you're failing if you don't hit it within a certain time, but like, this is your whole life. You got to fix this up here. And I'm pointing to my head for the people that can't see. It's just me and you. But it's
like that because you're pointing to your head and I'm nodding at you. And then I realize neither of us is actually doing anything that anybody on the other side of listening to this can tell
Bingo.
That we're doing.
But everybody, it's such a mental thing. And it's like there's no, you have to learn that. This is life. Like, this is not some temporary, this is not some, oh, for the season kind of thing. Like, this is life. Like, this is welcome to your new life. Like, if you're on a journey, welcome, because strap on, it's going to be a hell of a ride. That's what I've learned. If you get the most out of it, it can be a hell of a ride.
Absolutely. And I think mental health is the biggest contributing factor to successful weight loss.
Yes.
And the biggest contributing factor to not successfully losing. I think we focus too much on the physical. And I did stories about this the other day, and massive, massive feedback within the weight loss community, because so many people are like, you're right, and we don't think about it that way.
Right.
Your head's got to get in the game before your body can compete.
Exactly.
And that includes not hating the body that you're in, whether you're at the start, at the end, or in the process. Bingo. You got to love your body, because if nothing else, your body has survived. You know, I know you and I have had this chat before. We both had our near death experience.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, you know, I medically was told, we don't know how you're still alive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, me neither. But I have to love my body. I have to love my body for all its jiggles and its loose skin and its everything. Because even when I didn't give it love, it gave me love and it got me through. So
that's powerful.
Thank you.
It really is.
You just need to, it's about perspective. And unfortunately, I think we think if our bodies are perfect, then all the other issues that we have go away. And it's not true. It's not true. Our body being healthy helps us get through different things.
Yes.
But it doesn't make everything else better. You know, you've got to work on you and your mind, and that will help make everything else better. And because the other is just physical. It's just physical. And if you have body image issues at a size 8, you're going to have them at a size 28. Yeah. It's just how it is, you know. And if anything, it's ironic. I'm smaller, but I probably have more body image issues now in how I look in clothing, because before I didn't really look, to be honest.
Well, you're probably not used to all this, like, you know, and I'm sure you get this every day. People are like, oh, you look amazing. You're amazing and all this stuff. And you probably just, I mean, I'm just guessing here, but you probably don't know how to take it a lot of times. You're probably just not used to it, right? I mean, am I close?
You're very close. I actually had a friend turn around and say to me the other day, you need to just learn how to say thank you. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, no, but I'm grateful. And he's like, two compliments. You need to just say thank you and walk away.
Yes.
He's like, because some will compliment you and you'll be like, oh, thank you, my dress was on sale. Like, he's like, it's not the dress that looks good, right?
Right.
Take the compliment and walk away. And I'm like, okay, I'll work on that. But it is so much about our mind. And
yes.
And the mind is the thing that will sabotage you as well. Because depression doesn't go away just because of weight loss.
Correct.
And anxiety doesn't go away just because of weight loss. And being a size 10 or a size 6 isn't going to make you a better person.
No, it's really not.
It's going to make you a smaller person, but it's not going to make you a better person. And I think we get so wrapped up in how we want to appear.
Yeah.
That we forget about being present.
I don't know if you saw this. I'll throw it up on the screen here so you can see it, but I posted this the other day and I let off with the caption, if you don't love yourself, it's game over. And I think that is really a simple thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me laugh. Sometimes the photos that I get the most reaction on are not ones that I value. And I think as much, you know, they're not ones that I think are as purposeful. That is a gorgeous photo though, Gary. I love that. If I haven't liked that, I'm going to go back and do it after we get off the
It's a couple of posts away. But I mean, seriously, if you don't love yourself, it's game over. Like, you can have all the drive and the determination and say, I'm going to go out and work out for 3 hours a day, 7 days a week. Cool. But if you don't love the body that you're in, you will fail, guaranteed. I promise you. You will fail.
I didn't mean to laugh at what you were just saying. It's just that in my head, I just got the lyrics to TLC, Unpretty. If you can't
that song.
Inside you, find out who am I to be in a position to...
I remember that. I remember the last time we talked. We talked like 80s, 90s music, I think, briefly.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
But seriously, look, to bring it all around, though, that is the point. If you don't love yourself, it's game over. You got to get on board with the body you're in or else you will not succeed. I mean, you could have everything else, but if you're not happy, if you can't get your brain on the same page, you're gonna fall apart. I really believe that.
And stop putting yourself down.
Yes.
Because putting yourself down just makes it okay for other people to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not okay. It's never okay. It's never okay for someone to comment on your physicality in an insulting way.
Right.
And backwards compliments. They're my favorite thing. I got told by somebody over Christmas, wow, how have you lost so much weight yet your legs are still so huge?
Oh my God. Are you seriously?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that feels nice.
How do you
it?
Handle that though? Like, do you just want to like whack the person over the head?
To be honest, I've realized, particularly in the last few months, just how chill a person I am.
Yeah.
Because I had a massive blood clot in one of my legs a few years ago. I have a circulation issue in that leg now too. So I've lost a lot of weight from the top half of my body, and my bottom half is still catching up on that.
Right.
I think my reaction was sort of, well, you know, they're tiny compared to what they used to be. They're still big, but even when I was thin, I had big legs. So yeah. You know. I got me some thick thighs, Gary. I'm going to rock them.
You got to rock them. I mean, as far as you've come, honestly, have you been able to fully embrace and love yourself? I mean, have you, because some people, they might tell you they have or they really haven't. Like, where are you at with that? Are you on board with you?
Most days.
Okay.
It's an everyday thing, you know, it's.
Yeah.
It just seems logical to me that if I don't love the skin I'm in, nobody else is going to love it.
Sure.
And to be honest, it doesn't really matter if nobody else loves it. It's about whether or not I do. And,
yep.
And I think there's this theory that you can only love yourself when you get to the finish line.
Yeah.
You know, I'll love my body when I get to goal weight. Well, maybe I won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have to love and own my reality. And my reality at the moment is that I was somebody who started over 500 pounds. Wow. I think I'm just under 250 now. So I've, you know, I'm half the human that I used to be.
Right.
In terms of physicality. And
I mean, that's a huge, I'm sorry. That's a huge thing too. You just say it kind of like matter of factly, and like, I'm pretty positive, like 100 people listening now, their heads just got blown off. Like, what? You lost how much weight?
I actually met a lady in the chemist last night, in the pharmacy last night.
Yeah.
And I was in the Opti or the meal replacement aisle because a friend of mine's having surgery in a couple of weeks, and I have stupidly agreed to do that stage of things with her to support her.
Right.
It's awful. and we got to talking, and she just couldn't believe that I weighed what I did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, I did. And she's just like, she commented on things that I don't see in myself, where she was like, wow, but your skin doesn't look haggard. You don't look like you've shrunk.
Yeah.
Like she said, sometimes when people have extreme weight loss, they look like their skin is too big for their face.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. She thought that I was younger than I am. And she sort of, I was, to be honest, I was wearing an outfit that completely sucked in all of my loose skin.
Okay.
Because I've deliberately started buying certain tops a size smaller because it just holds my body firm. And she just was like, you can't see that that's there. She said, I would never have thought you had lost the amount of weight that you've lost.
Yeah.
And sort of when a stranger is saying things like that to you and you can't see the amazing that's within you, is when I sort of gave myself a reality shock last night. And I actually said it on my stories. I'm the one that preaches to you guys to love yourself.
Yes.
And to own your skin. And here I am going, why can't I accept compliments? And why can't I love what my body is? And I think it's an everyday thing because we spend so long hating it. And there's actually a song by an Australian comedian and writer,
okay,
Tim Minchin, and he actually wrote the musical Matilda. But Tim Minchin did a song called Not Perfect, and there's a line that he says about his body, which is, I've spent so long hating it, but it never has a bad word to say about me.
Wow. That's huge.
It is. It is. The weirdest thing about it is I've spent so much time hating it.
Yeah.
That it never has a bad word to say about me.
Is it like 50-50 for you, or is it like 80-20 in terms of how many days you love yourself versus days where you feel like you're maybe off or something, or?
I think it's not even whole days. I think.
Just a random mood, part of your day, you mean?
I think Shark Week, do you guys use that term over there? Shark Week.
Oh, you're talking about the female thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So when I'm surfing the Crimson Wave, to resort back to Clueless, I tend to hate on my body a bit more during that time of the month.
Okay.
But in general, I love that I can make you laugh about stuff. I've told you, Gary, I'm not filtered.
I appreciate you for that. Respect. I recently heard that term. Like, I recently had a realization of what that term was probably in the last maybe month. After seeing it over and over again online.
Don't go in the water.
No comment.
I come from the land of the great whites. Come on, don't go in the water. I think it's a daily thing. I think that I can wear the same outfit 2 days in a row and one day love myself sick in that outfit and the next day be like, ugh. And you have those days where you walk around thinking, God, I'm king of it all.
Right.
Or queen of it all. And then the next day you wake up and you like look in the mirror and you think, geez, what did my body do to my face in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's like that. And I think that that's reality. But I think what I have come to the realization of is that obesity, and this is kind of controversial and I've not told anybody else this and I'm just trialing this with you right now and that's probably bravely stupid.
Okay.
I feel like obesity is really selfish.
Okay.
It's really self-centered. We focus on ourselves and how people are going to see us and what people are going to think about us and people are watching us eat. It is a very self-centered thing, and I think what I'm learning and what I have learned during my journey is that it matters so much more the person that I am than what I look like.
Yeah, it's huge.
Because I went to the beach the other day. I'm not the person that people traditionally view as a bikini girl. I went to the beach and there was a group of women, not even young girls. They were women. a few years younger than me, maybe, and they sort of did the snicker when I, because I swim without shorts.
Really?
When I took off my dress, they did the snicker, and I sort of looked at them for a second, and all I could think of was, I felt sorry for them.
Yeah.
I felt really sad and really sorry for them. I mean, I spent about 3 seconds feeling embarrassed and shamed.
Of course.
And then went, you know what? I'm not going to own that. That's not my emotion that I'm owning. That's yours. And you can keep that, because how great was it to go in the water and swim and have fun and not care if anybody was looking at me, because it was about the fact that 3 years ago I couldn't have walked down from the car to the beach to the water.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And for me, it was progress. And I was with my nephew and his girlfriend. They're 15 and are totally adorable. I'd forgotten what it was like to be 15 and in love. And I'd sort of given her a heads up. I'm like, oh, I'm just letting you know, I have loose skin on my body because I've lost a lot of weight. And she's like, okay. And that was it. That was all she...
That was it.
And she didn't care. And I just think that was a moment for me where me of old would have gone in the water wearing whatever I had on over my swimming costume because of the way those women looked at me and spoke to me. And me of now goes, I'm not going to own your shaming because that's your shaming, not mine. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I've worked hard to be this person, so I'm not going to be ashamed of being her. And, you know, and I'd much rather have a good soul and a kind soul than a good body, because at any given moment that body could change. But a good soul, you know, that's eternal.
Yeah, you got that right. Amen. I feel it. I feel it. What were you going to say?
I'm like, oh, you're preaching at the Church of Rachel right now.
That's what I feel like we got going on here. You're just preaching. I'm like, yep, yep, check, check, check. we're in a new year now, and I know one of the other things we wanted to address while we were here, while we have this time, is what the new year looks like for you. I know for people that listen to this podcast on a regular basis, if you're a regular listener, you already know that I did a podcast, Top 5 Things I Hope to Do in 2018. And if you're brand new, I would just refer you to go back 2 or 3 episodes to that very episode, and you can learn about the 5 things that I hope to do in 2018. But we'll turn that over to you, Rachel. And if you don't have 5, that's okay. But maybe we can just have a couple of talking points as far as what, you know, you're looking forward to here in the new year, what you want to do, what you hope to do, et cetera, et cetera.
Top 5 things that I want to do in 2018. I would like to go to the States.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Because I've never been, and there's a lot of awesome people over there.
You have a particular place in the States that you hope to visit in 2018?
There's quite a few. I'm thinking a road trip is in order.
Yeah. Do you have like 3 or 5 top cities that in mind where you're like, I just have to hit these places? You're like LA, Vegas, whatever it is.
Do you know what's funny? LA and Vegas aren't on my list really. I would love to go to Florida. I'd love to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
I'd love to go to Boston.
Yeah.
And New York. Everybody says New York. I know that's not really original.
It's nice. I mean, New York is very nice.
What else would I like to do this year? I think, refresh me. What was one of the things that was on your list?
Well, the 5K. So I've already got that booked. So in April, that'll be complete. One of the other things was relaunch my YouTube channel, which it's relaunched. You guys can find that. I'm sure I have it linked in 500 different places. I'll link it in this podcast. The other things were, I wanted to take my podcast on the road and meet people and interview them from on the road, because as cool as Skype is and it's connecting you and I worlds apart here, I really want to meet more people face to face and interview them face to face. So taking the podcast on the road, and then there was the whole, oh yeah, I want to jump out of an airplane before the end of the year.
I think that sounds brilliant. All of that sounds brilliant. I can't wait to see you jump out of an airplane. And if you decide to go on the road and come to Australia, you've got somewhere to stay in Sydney.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to sit down and chat with you.
Absolutely. Let's be honest. Let's sit down and eat.
Yeah, yeah. Let's have some of them strawberry donuts, right?
Do you know what's funny? I didn't really like them much. I haven't had one since, probably.
Really? I'll tell you what, though. If I'm traveling all the way to a place like Sydney, Australia, I'm going to have one hell of an appetite.
Oh, that's okay. We can work on that.
Very cool.
I am quite the chef.
Fantastic. That's what I like. I like a good plate of food. And that's one thing about, you know, the diet, the working out. Like I always said, like, I'm just team portion control. I don't have a specific diet. So I'm just like, you know, I pretty much eat whatever, just limiting the portions and not eating the super bad stuff. So I'm down to eat some good stuff, and I'm, you know, whether it's like burgers, pizza, you know, spaghetti, these are all things that I love. People that are like seriously on diets are probably like ready to throw their phones out of the window right now. I'm listing all these bad things.
It's about balance. It's about being able to have those things because you're doing everything else right.
Yes.
You know, energy out, energy in. That's my philosophy.
I like it.
I really want to, there's this thing that you can do in Sydney where you can ride on a Harley Davidson trike.
Really?
Yeah. You can ride across the Harbour Bridge on one of those, but I am currently 5 kilos too heavy to do that. So what's that? I'm about 10 pounds too heavy.
Oh, dude, you'll nail that.
Well, I do, like, one of my mates, Nick, was just like, just lie to them and tell them they're not going to weigh you when you get there. And I'm like, no, that's not the point. I'd like to do that across the Harbour Bridge. I really want to. I'd love to go swimming with dolphins.
That would be awesome. That sounds like amazing.
Yeah. I want to make this year about recuperation as well, like relaxation. I want to see places that I've not seen. I want to photograph as many of them and as many people as I possibly can. I actually, you know what, and I haven't told anybody else that I want to do this. I have a friend who runs her own pinup shop business, and she also does pinup photography, and I want to do me a pinup shoot with her.
Now, that'd be amazing. You would nail that easily. Easily.
And what else would I like to do? It would be nice to just feel content.
Sure.
Some contentment would be good. I think that there are some people that feel happiness more than others. I'm somebody who feels a lot of happiness, but I feel like contentment has been something that has eluded me.
I understand.
So I knew you would. We're very similar.
Yes, we are. You know, you mentioned about, you know, lying about the Harley Davidson. I lied once a couple years ago about riding a mechanical bull. I had to be like 20 or 30 pounds over the limit for this mechanical bull. The damn thing still threw me off, but I would love to go back and just ride the hell out of that mechanical bull if I ever had the chance again. Like, I feel like now I could probably do it, but maybe another 30 pounds.
You come to Sydney, honey, and we will find you a mechanical bull. We'll do that together. I've never done that. Let's
you never done a mechanical bull? Can I tell you how amazing a mechanical bull is? I mean, I was on it for like 2 or 3 seconds. It was amazing. You guys don't have those in Sydney?
I feel like we probably would, but I feel like they're not as common.
Have you never watched Urban Cowboy?
Like Urban Cowboy?
Yeah.
You never saw? Who hasn't watched
Okay, Urban I was about Cowboy. To say. You had me freaked out for a moment.
I did say the other day, I did do a thing on my Instagram about Donnie Wahlberg.
Yes.
Because you know me, I'm a Donnie girl. And you're Jordan Knight, right?
Yes.
And I did have one of my followers, who is a beautiful lady from Boston, has offered to give me a tour of Boston and go to phenomenal. A Celtics game with me, because Donnie usually goes to the Celtics games. So, you know, I may just have to do that.
I've never been to Boston. You'll have to tell me how it is. I actually have family in Boston. I've never been to freaking Boston.
Where's somewhere in the States that you haven't been that you want to go? That
Chicago.
You have to go?
Chicago.
Me too.
Never.
Why?
Never been there. The deep dish pizza. Okay. Not necessarily just the food thing. Perfect Strangers took place in Chicago. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Amazing show.
Balky.
Yes. So Perfect Strangers was in Chicago. Family Matters was in Chicago.
The Winslows.
The Winslows. I love the Winslows.
I am just realizing how much of my youth was actually spent watching American shows.
It's crazy, isn't it? And one of my favorite movie series, although this was the most terrible of the three movies, but Poltergeist 3 was filmed in Chicago at the Hancock Building.
I need to confess something to you, because I am a movie buff. You
okay.
know that.
Yes.
I'm a movie on film. I've never seen Poltergeist, because I found out that the little girl and the girl who played her sister both died very young and in very strange circumstances.
Yes.
And I just don't want to bring that karma into my life.
I was obsessed with that movie for the longest time.
Poltergeist.
Yeah. Because I saw it at such a young age. I actually had a babysitter. I don't think I've ever told this on the podcast. I had a babysitter who had a room, like, and this is the mid-80s, so, you know, picture how you will. But it was like wall-to-wall, picture like a 10 to 12-foot ceiling, wall-to-wall stacked sky-high with VHS cassette tapes. And she would just record movies or buy movies all day, all night, because she was just a babysitter. She babysit kids and, you know, she would just watch movies and stuff like that. And so I don't know what business she had showing me the movie Poltergeist at the age of 5 or 6, you know, whatever it was. Yeah. But seeing it at such a young age, I was super fascinated with it. And I've always had this strange fascination with that movie, and I've been obsessed with it every freaking since. And another place that I always wanted to go to that I've not been is Simi Valley, California, where the house, the real house, stands. I want to go and take a selfie with the house.
All right. Okay, so if I'm ever in California, you'll have to be there with me and we'll do it together.
Okay, but you got to watch the movie first, though.
Well, no, but see, here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm going to make a pact with you that I will not watch that movie until I watch that movie with you.
Wow, okay, all right, deal, done.
So at some point in our lives, we have to be in the same place and I will watch Poltergeist. But I'm just giving you a big heads up. I am the world's biggest fraidy cat. Like, I really am. I love horror movies.
Yeah.
But I scream ridiculously. Yeah. Them.
You better have some of your snoring dogs around to hold on to. Because I tell you what, because old me, I used to sit around and watch movies and fall asleep in the middle of movies. Not because I was bored with them, just because I was so big and out of shape that I would just pass out in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
But That movie to me will always be amazing. But Chicago is first on that list, and maybe that house is probably second, as weird as that is, because I've been to California. I used to live in California, just not that part, several hours away, in fact. So mm-hmm. So 2018, you want to travel to the States at some point. What else do you want to do in 2018?
I want to go on the trike.
On the trike, yep. We talked about that. What else do you want to do?
I want to photograph as many places and as many people as possible.
Okay.
So far, that's off to a good start. I did my first shoot of the year I did yesterday, and then I've got a massive body positivity shoot on Saturday with about 10 or 12 different weight loss women.
No kidding.
Which will be amazing.
So you are in the business of photography, or is this like just a hobby you do for fun?
It's like a hobby side business.
Ah, a little side hustle, a little entrepreneurial spirit in you.
It feeds my soul, but it also feeds my bank account occasionally too.
Love it. I always got some side hustle. We're talking on one of my side hustles right here, podcasting. I'm all about the side hustle. Look, I love my regular job. It's great. It's stable. Good people. Good income. Whatever. It's awesome. But I live for the side hustle.
You keep trying to convince me to podcast.
You would kill at podcasting. Are you kidding me? Like, the amount of feedback that not just... I forget about the feedback I got, because that's just people messaging me. I know damn well people are up in your DM saying, this podcast that you were on was great. You got to do a podcast.
All right. What would we call it?
I don't know, but I just feel like with the amount of motivation and inspiration that you offer to people, I really truly believe that you could really impact people's lives.
Thank you.
You're already doing it on Instagram, but on a podcast, taking it to a whole other level. Telling you what, maybe a YouTube channel, like all these things. I would be thinking about all these things. I learned very much, and people that listen to podcasts, they're probably like, it's a broken record at this point, but I'm just going to say it because there's new people that are listening. I learned last year about, you know, the idea of documenting stuff, like Gary Vaynerchuk, big influence in my life in terms of teaching me to document my weight loss journey. Not that he said document your weight loss journey, but document over create. You know, people want to come along for a ride. They want to come along while you're on your way to wherever it is that you're going. And so with that in mind, you know, I started documenting this whole weight loss journey, and it's been a long, crazy ride. So I think of you, and you got the photography, you're on this insane journey, but at the same time, you're very reflective and you motivate and inspire people. And there's like a whole, I mean, there's a whole, I hate to say the word brand because then it sounds like business spammy, but like there's a whole brand here. I'm telling you.
I like the idea of documenting the journey. I've always been that way. I think that's probably how I fell into photography.
Yeah.
I was telling you the last time that we spoke on your podcast, my father passed away when I was quite young.
Yes.
I don't have a single photo my whole life of my father and my mother and me.
Wow.
I don't have, it's just the three of us. And most of my photos with, I mean, my mom was obviously the one taking the photos, so I don't have any photos of her when I was younger.
Right.
It was only really, like, not many when I was younger, but a lot when I was sort of old enough, when selfies came in. Because right. She's like, I don't like photos. And I'm like, tough luck, basically. But my father, I think I could count on one hand how many photos I have with him my whole life. Wow. And so it's always become a very important thing to me because I learnt young that sometimes people don't come home.
Yeah.
That you will want something to regenerate that memory. And I'm very big on photos of my nieces and nephews and photos of them with their parents. And I, you know, every birthday party and everything is documented because I want them to look back on their lives and see just how many people really love them.
Yeah, I'm feeling you on that. I think, you know, you have this great talent of being able to do 15-second stories on Instagram. But imagine now if you take that nice camera that you have that you're taking pictures with and you throw the video mode on it. And now you're doing like a vlog or like a 10-minute, you know, love yourself, body positivity type video. Imagine how many young women you can influence to get their mind in the correct thinking that I think you've got. And that is, you know, loving yourself and the body positive. I mean, I think that's just one video. Let alone you could do 30 videos on this whole thing that you're going along. Like, I've got all these ideas in my head for you. This is what happens. I talk to somebody, I feel them out a little bit, and then I start throwing out ideas and like, whoa, you're blowing my mind, or like, slow down, like I'm not there yet. I'm like, I just have all these ideas. They run rampant, and I need to figure out some way to generate an income on these ideas. Maybe I should just have people like, maybe I should just be like the guy that like people set up appointments with, and they come over and I just like throw like 100 ideas their way, and they just give me like, I don't know, a few dollars. Thanks for the ideas. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure it out.
Either that or we, I have had quite a few men message me off Instagram and tell me that they would like me to read them bedtime stories because they like my voice. So yes. I'm thinking I could do voiceover work or read bedtime stories to, you know, dirty old men. And and you could be my manager and we'll just give you 10% of whatever it is that I'm earning.
Okay.
I would like to. I think I would really like to do the YouTube thing sort of terrifies me but also motivates me.
Yes.
The idea of vlogging. I think I'm interested. We need to talk about it.
Yes, yes. Let's have a business meeting.
Yes, well, I will give you full artistic credit because I'm big on that. I don't know whether you've ever noticed that off of Instagram. Anytime that I get an idea or I've heard or I've said something.
Yes.
That I have gotten the concept from somebody else, I'm always big on playing it back.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. I'm just like, and you just said voiceover, and I can't believe I didn't even think of it. Like, that's a natural thing to me. Like, of course you would be awesome at voiceover. Like, you get the right equipment. And people make bank off just recording commercials or, like, you know, like, I can imagine you as, like, the lady on the telephone, like, the press one for this and that. It would be the best damn telephone thing I've ever heard, like, because you have that accent, it sounds cool, and people would just be like, oh, this is cool, I just want to sit on hold all night. Serious.
I love that. I love that. I actually had... I had a cold about a month ago and I was doing stories with a cold. I've never gotten so many messages from men as I did from that week because they're just like, oh, your voice. And I'm like, it's congested. How is that sexy? Apparently nasal sounds good to men.
Go with it, I guess, right?
Oh, that's it. Ride the wave.
Ride the wave. Anything else in this year that you're hoping to do? I don't want to miss a thing.
So that was at 3. The pinup shoot makes it 4.
What's number 5?
Honestly, I started a hashtag on Instagram, which is We Swim Without Shorts.
Okay.
I'd love to see that. That so far is a really big thing. It's starting to become a big thing in the Sydney weight loss community and the Australia weight loss community. I'd like to see that go global. I'd like to see all of these women saying, you know what, let's own our jiggly, let's own our cellulite, let's own all of that, and just and know that I help them liberate themselves.
That's from board shorts. That's amazing. You're inspiring people, I'm telling you. Do you realize how many people that you inspire daily? Do you realize this?
I think that they inspire themselves, but it's nice to know that somebody else is going through it too.
I think you're inspiring a lot of people. I really believe it. I see it. How many times I'm in somebody else's story and I see your name pop up there? People are thinking about you. You're doing amazing things, Rachel. What can I say?
Thank you.
You're very it's welcome. Nice to I'm just trying to think, is there anything else we missed? I know people wanted to get this kind of update. Where's Rachel? What's she doing? Is there anything we missed? I mean, we're park running, we're wanting to ride Harleys, we're wanting to, you know, come to Chicago. You know, like, What have we missed? Is there anything we're missing here?
No, I think we're pretty much on track. I think it's been an up and down 3 months, but at the end of the 3 months, it's been up, and I'm up, and yeah. I'm moving. I'm posting a lot more movement photos on Instagram, which is something that I was never particularly comfortable with, because obviously, if you pose for a photo, you can, you know, flatter your angle.
Sure.
I'm owning my body, and yeah. I'm owning the fact that my body goals are different to other people's body goals.
I feel you.
And I think I'm a work in progress. I think we're all a work in progress, but I can see the progress being made, which is good.
Absolutely. I'm blown away by the amount of times I get on Instagram and I'll see somebody's post and it just, you know, somebody, whether it's an exercise, a face to face, there's a guy, I want to shout this guy out. 'Cause I don't know if you follow him. I want to shout this guy out. Let me try to point him out. There's this guy, and I think he's maybe, if he's not necessarily in your neck of the woods, he might be damn close. Let me see. Doing It Big. Where's this guy? Doing It Big.
You know what?
Have you seen this guy?
Yeah, I've only been following him for 2 weeks. I feel like he's a New Zealander.
New Zealand, okay.
He might be an Australian. I feel like he's a New Zealander. Either that or there's a lot of New Zealanders that live in Australia. So, but he is phenomenal.
Yes.
He is phenomenal.
I told him on a comment, I was like, dude, every time your video pops up, like it's like when I'm waking up in the morning, and it's like evening for you guys on that side of the world. And I'm like, every time I wake up, I'm always seeing like some video from this guy. And he's just like, I feel like he's moving mountains. And He is. Yeah. I'm putting him over strong because I'm sure he probably doesn't listen to this and I don't want to like embarrass him or anything. But like, this guy is freaking killing it.
I will probably send him a message at some point and say, you need to listen to this podcast. He really is. I actually was not following him. My friend Stacy, who is a good one to follow, I think, for balance and fitness with weight loss. Stacy was the one, we were at lunch, and it inevitably comes up to Instagram quite frequently. And
of course,
she just said, are you following this guy? And she showed me him and I went, I'm not. How did you beat me to it? Basically was how I felt.
Yeah.
And he's just freaking amazing.
Yes.
He's amazing. And the things that he's doing, and there's an Australian girl that I love as well called Chelsea. I think her name is Chelsea, but her Instagram name is No Chub Chelsea.
Okay.
And she is the same. Her starting weight is, I feel like her starting weight is probably 30 or 40 kilos more than I am now.
Okay.
But she runs and she lifts and she just does these phenomenal things. And she wears a bikini.
Wow.
And she rocks that bikini. Like, she rocks it and looks hot as hell. And she's in her 20s, in her early 20s, I feel like she is. And I just wish that in my early 20s, I was that girl.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be that girl now. And
sure.
I actually sent her a message the other day that said, you have no idea how much you inspire me, because she really does. And there's actually, while we're doing shout outs, there's an American guy whose stories are my favorite stories to watch every day. His name's Tony, but he goes by a braver me, I think. A.braver.me or .u. I can't remember. I feel really bad now. But Tony is incredible, and Tony's stories, they blow me away. He's got one of the stories that forced me to listen to him is on his highlights reel on Instagram now.
Right.
And it was a poem that he'd done, or a rap or a chant or whatever we want to call it. And it was just so phenomenal. It was about being brave enough to be you. And just sensational.
Wow.
It's a lot of inspiring people out there, Gary.
There really is. I mean, so many people. We could sit here for 3 hours and just name out. And that's why I don't really name a lot of names a lot of time, because there's just so many. And I don't want to leave anybody out, because everybody's just killing it.
Well, that's why I do weekly mentions. I do the Monday mentions because, and quite frequently on Monday mentions, I will shout out to people who don't necessarily have a lot of followers, because the ones that do have a lot of followers, there are people, but you know, in the worldwide community in weight loss that everybody knows and everybody follows.
Yeah.
But I prefer to be like, hey, here's this pearl that you've missed out on because they maybe only have 100 followers or something. And you know, and these are the people that you can get the most amazing things out of, because there becomes a certain amount of pressure. The more followers you have, there is more pressure on your content, and that can compromise people and what they do, or if they're getting sponsored, that can compromise how they're promoting themselves.
Sure.
I don't get sponsored by anybody, and it's kind of good because it means that I can just be me.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm telling you that I really like something, it's because I really like it, and I'm not getting paid to tell you that I really like it. So I like it from that perspective. But yeah, that's why I do Monday Mentions as well, because there are so many amazing and inspirational and community focused people, people who care about more than just themselves.
Exactly. And that's huge. Like, if you're coming on Instagram just to say, look at me, get the hell out of here. Like, those people are no good. I don't like to deal with those people. I'm all about community. Like, I don't care I don't care if I have 100 followers or 10,000 followers. If people were to go on my page and they go on your page, they can see the follow to follow ratio is very close. Like,
it's very similar.
Yeah. It's not, hey, I only follow 100 people, but I want, 10,000 followers. Like, this is what kind of upsets me a little bit. We've been so damn positive, but I came across an account, and I won't shout them out just because, but there's an account that has a large following that highlights other people. And they say, hey.
I know which account you're talking about.
Okay.
How funny is this?
Like, they have the stories of like, hey, go and check out, we just posted this, right? Support this person. Like, if we don't see you commenting and liking, we're going to block you, right? They have a couple hundred thousand followers, but they follow 100 people. Like, how are you in the community if you're not, like me? If I'm guilty of anything, it's probably because I spend too much damn time on Instagram interacting with people.
I'm bad with Instagram. I spend a lot of time on it. I am. Anybody who's ever sent me a DM will know I respond to every single DM. I even respond to the inappropriate DMs by saying, I'm not interested, thank you.
Right. Sure.
But I respond to every single message that's sent to me because people have taken time out of their life to send me that message.
Sure.
And why would I not give them the same consideration?
Exactly. Why would you not? And so when I look at that, when I see somebody that says, hey, I'm going to block you if you don't like and comment on this, but by the way, I'm only going to follow 100 people. I've got like 300,000 to 400,000 followers. And I get, like, look, I get it. Like, you may not be able to follow every single person back, but golly.
Yeah, it is hard, but there are ways to save your favorites, too. There are ways so that, Gary, I don't miss anything that you post because you're somebody that I care about. How hard is it to type in the three, G-A-R? Okay, let's bring up his page. Let's have a look at what he's doing.
Well, I'll take it one step further. For a lot of people that like actually that I interact with that interact with me, like I've got post notifications turned on. Like I get a little ding.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like
exactly it. It's not difficult. And I don't know. I'm this person that I was actually out at dinner with a few weight loss people the other night, and they were talking about these apps that tell you who followed you, who unfollowed you, who whatever. Yeah. And I was like, they're like, oh, you should get it. And I've gone, why?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, so that way you can say, I'm like, I don't care. I really don't care. If somebody wants to unfollow me, it means that my page isn't giving them anything that they need or want.
Sure.
If I'm following them and they're not following me, well, then that means that I'm getting something from their page. So at the end of the day, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Fair
enough.
It's about perspective. But with pages like that where they're saying, if you're a ghost follower, we're going to delete you. Well, there are people that I have followed for months and months and months and never liked or commented on anything that they've done. Just sort of kept an idea of it. Actually, like, I don't tend to be massive on comments because I'm a hopeless texter. We know
this. Yes.
But
if video comments were a thing, you'd kill it. In other words,
that's it. But there are people that I haven't, that I've followed, and I track them and I enjoy them. I'm not necessarily commenting on their posts, but it doesn't mean that I'm not enjoying it. And so I'd like to think the reason that I don't care about ghost followers or people not commenting on my stuff is because I'd like to think that it's the same thing. And so what if it is about getting their numbers up? Good on them. I read a post on, his name is Mike. He goes by Fat Ass to Badass. He had a post up on his page the other day going, the number of followers doesn't interest me. Hitler had 4 million and Jesus had 12.
There you go.
And I just sort of went, actually, yeah, I kind of like that. That works for me.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I just, and if I can compliment this person, I like the fact that they say, please go and comment and like on and support this photo, like support this person. I like that part of the message. I just don't think you can say you're part of the community if you don't follow anybody.
No, and I agree. I agree that you shouldn't be taking without giving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's how I operate, though. I want to give and not just take. And I'd like to give as much as possible. So.
No, I feel you. Instagram, while mostly good, there's always going to be a little bit of, you know, bad stuff out there. Like, I haven't really talked about this, but fuck it. I mean, let's just talk about it. I had two or three people that, let's call them, like, lurkers, that are, like, lurking in my stories. And one person, I don't even know this person. I've seen their face. They look familiar. I feel like it's somebody I've known at some, well, not known, but like I've probably run into them before, and they come on my page. We have no mutual connection, and they're just on there every single day, and that's kind of weird. And then I've got these other two people, like one person who used to follow, who used to be very active as far as my efforts, and kind of fell off the face of the earth and is living in my stories every single day. And I find that a little mm-hmm. weird. I find the mental behavior of that just so weird that you have a person that, you know, on one end, you have a person that you used to follow that you unfollowed. So it's like you said, you're not getting value from that person, so you leave.
Yeah.
But then you go through the effort to type in their name and search them every single day and watch their stuff. I just find that weird. And I'm not dropping names. I'm not going to blow up anybody's spot. In the sense of I'm not going to call them out specifically, but I find that weird. I just wanted to ask somebody else who's so super active on Instagram if that is like weird or if I'm just the only person that thinks this is weird.
No. I find it weird too. It's sort of like I have people who I was close to at certain points that have sort of made it very obvious that they're not interested in my friendship anymore, but they watch my stories every single day.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can see you there. I can see.
It's 2018. We know you're like, here.
Yeah. I can see you there on my Instagram watching my story, but not acknowledging the message that I sent you in your inbox. There's no way you know that there's no way that you don't know it's there. You're just not looking at it because you know that it will convert to seen.
Yes.
If you open it. And
why do people got to be so weird, Rachel?
I don't know, but I just have sort of realized it's not really worth my effort. If you want to enjoy watching my life that you don't want to be part of.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to me. Like I could probably go into my story right now. I guarantee it, and there's probably at least one of them in my stories.
Oh, hang on. I'm going to do the same thing now.
Okay. We'll compare notes here.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay. Okay.
Still looking.
Out of curiosity, you opened up your first story. Hey, Gay Cantrell, watch my stories.
I do watch your stories. It's no joke.
You're a sweetheart. Thank you. hang on. Okay, so we've got one.
How many do you have, by the way? Do you have like a ballpark number of how many people that are these?
Generally watch my stories on a daily basis?
No. I'm not asking you to release those numbers. I'm talking about like the lurker people.
I've got about 4 or 5.
Okay, I got 3.
My pugs are in the backyard and they're not liking it. You can hear them.
I've heard them for nearly the entire podcast. They've been as background noise, which is fine.
I mean, I know. I'm so cool. Sorry. I've been trying to I've been trying to keep them quiet. Okay. So there's 2 out of all of mine. 2 of them have done my stories today. Yesterday's stories for me.
Yeah. Oh, I got one. I got one lurker today. Fantastic. Ooh. God bless them. You know what I said? I actually did a story about this earlier. I was announcing my giveaway, which I'm doing, which I don't know if I should. I don't know. I don't know if I should plug the sweepstakes, the giveaway, because by the time this thing gets out, it may be too late. But in the story, I mentioned that lurkers were not eligible to win. So
I did see a giveaway. I have to be honest, I never pay attention to giveaways from the States because generally I just think it's nasty to expect them to send something to Australia. So
yeah, I decided to do a giveaway for my clothing line, if you can call it that, I guess.
Oh, actually, I did see that, and I kind of wanted to enter that one. Am I eligible to enter that, Gary?
Worldwide, people are eligible. I will tell you that they are eligible. What the hell? I'll plug it now because most people listen in the first day that the podcast comes out. So
done. I feel like I could rock that shirt.
Yeah, dude, you could rock it. Okay, so this Friday at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Friday, January the 12th, I am giving away 3 Hard Work Always Wins shirts. Okay, the whole thing is that you can actually go to the website and pick out which shirt you like. Like, I don't care if it's a tank top or a t-shirt. The hoodies are not eligible, but it's t-shirts, tank tops, and the whoever gets it, you know, they can pick which one they want, right? So the only thing is you have to follow me. You have to follow at Hard Work Always Wins, which is my clothing line's account. And then there's the giveaway post that you have to like, comment, and tag 3 friends on. And I don't think it's that difficult. However, if you were to take a screenshot of my giveaway and post it as your own post or in your story, that would increase your chances of winning. So the due date on that is Friday, January the 12th at 5 p.m. is when I'm picking 3 winners to get a shirt of their choosing.
That would be American time, Friday, January 12th.
That is correct. You better set it on your calendar.
Oh, I will.
So that is the giveaway. And lurkers need not apply. They are not eligible. They do not follow me. They lurk my stories every single day. They are not eligible. So there you go. That is the story. That's the deal. That's the giveaway.
I think it's a surprise. Fingers crossed I win. Would it seem like you were partial if I won? Probably, but that's a chance I'm willing to take.
There you go. You put it out there, you throw it out there, you see, you never know what might happen. I'm telling you, like I said, you know, you like and comment, tag 3 friends. That's like one entry, but like, you know, you make a post out of it, you throw it in a story. I mean, that's like bonus points. I'm just trying to encourage everybody. Like, there you go. I've seen one or two people that are like dropping comments in this post like 3, 4, 5 times with 3 different people every time. And like, I'm not even mad at them. Like, bring more people into that thing. Like, like if you want to comment 50 times, but it's 3 different people every time. So like you just essentially told 150 people about that. Like, I'm good with it. Like, I got no hate for you.
I'm good with that.
So that's the deal. That's the deal. So that's the giveaway. And there I said it. And I'm only plugging it now because, again, most people that listen to this podcast, they listen the day it comes out, which I appreciate. I mean, like, it's like a mass flood of downloaders the day it comes out, which is always a good thing. You're speechless. I've left you speechless.
Like, I like that you were sort of hesitant to promote your own giveaway. Like, it's sort of cute.
Okay, here's the thing. I was talking with...
You're giving people things for free, Gary. You don't have to feel, about doing it. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but it goes back to that thing where I'm not super confident in selling, promoting, like... I don't know if you heard the podcast I did with Jessica, Bye Bye Fluff. I had her on a couple weeks ago.
I love her.
She is amazing. And I think we had gotten on the topic of, you know, oh, hey, where do I get your stuff? because she's like, oh, I really want to get one of your sweatshirts or shirts or whatever. Where do I get it? And I'm like, oh, that's right. I don't really promote it because everybody's spamming on Instagram, buy my Herbalife, buy my It Works, buy my wraps and pills and all this other shit. And I'm just like, no, I don't do that. So, like, I might wear this jacket in every damn picture I'm in, and somebody might ask me, hey, where did you get that? And I'll tell them, but I don't overly promote it. So the giveaway was like a new way to introduce people to the brand, but offering up stuff, giving something away as opposed to saying, buy my shit.
So that would do full circle on what we were just talking about with Instagram, with the whole give but take.
There you go.
Take but
give. I'm all about giving. And if I can, like you said, you like to give credit back if it's somebody else's idea.
Yeah.
Gary Vaynerchuk always says, give as much value as you can. You give, 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 and then you ask. That's what he always says. Or in other words, jab, 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 right hook. And you're giving and giving and giving and offering so much value. And then when you have something, you ask, you know, if people will check it out. But for the most part, you're offering up value. And that's, to me, the whole reason why I started documenting with this thing was to help other people. That's why I do it. Yes, I have other stuff on the side. And yes, I might tell you about my podcast two or three times a week. Yeah, I might say I got this YouTube video. But at the end of the day, the content on these different things is to offer value to you, the listener. That's the whole point. I want to help people, ultimately. That's always the goal. Always the goal is to help other people.
It's a good goal to have.
I think so. I mean, I spent so much of my early radio podcast career screaming at people, starting fights, fake fights to get listeners. That's what I used to do, because I used to do like a pro wrestling podcast. So like everything was like a storyline. Let's start a fight with this other radio show and we'll fight with each other and we'll get people to listen to our shows. Now I'm just about giving so much, giving as much as I can to help people. It's a complete change for me, but I love it.
So what I just heard was you're now a lover and not a fighter?
Correct. I don't fight no more. That's just like I said in my story, which you'll probably see after we hang up. I even told the lurkers, I got nothing but love for you. Thanks for the clicks. Thanks for the love. That's how I ended it. I didn't say F you, get the hell off my story. I said, thanks for the love. Thanks for the clicks. And that was it.
That's it.
It was a positive way to say goodbye to them. So
I think that is. I lead with positivity, lead with kindness.
The old me, Rachel, to give you just a comparison, the old me would have had screenshots tagging their usernames in my story so everybody could know exactly who they were. That's the old me. I'm not about that life.
I don't. Yeah. I get that. I could never be like that. To me, it's just, what's the point?
Yeah, I feel you. I'm learning that now.
It just fuels negativity, and there's no point. There's nothing that you get out of it. It's not going to make you feel any better, and it's probably not going to make them feel any worse. So,
exactly. I love that. Like, I'm just all about what is the best thing I can do, what is the most positive thing I can do, and that's the life I want to live right now.
I like that. I'm with you on that philosophy, Gary.
Yes.
That's how I live. From
here on out, that's the way it is. You could ask my closest of friends, my best friend of 20 years, Sean. We call him Ozzy. He'll tell you I'm a completely different person. In this last couple of years, life has transformed. I have transformed not only my body, but my mindset. And right now, it's I put it on a t-shirt, but I'm overstocked on patience. I've got an incredible amount of patience, and I will live my life through the four pillars of the patience, consistency, hard work, and loving myself. And in that, helping others, supporting others, and doing the best I can at life. That's pretty much where I'm at right now.
I'm in awe of that. That's just perfect.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I agree. I think that's a great way to wrap up the podcast now, an hour and 40 minutes that we've gone now. Can you believe
Jeez,
that?
Jeez, Gary, how do you do it? Jeez, you talk a lot.
You talk a lot, too. Now, imagine if you were to start doing a podcast.
I'm sorry about that.
Imagine if you did a podcast. It'd probably be a three-hour podcast you could talk, and I mean that in the best way. I mean that in the best way. Look, you could be huge in podcasting.
All right. Well, you are my manager now, so let's work on that.
We will definitely discuss the terms, for sure.
Thank you for.
Go ahead.
Thank you for letting me come back and visit.
It's been fun. I appreciate you hanging around and chatting it up. And I think that I'll end it with this. Here's to 2018 being an amazing year for you as you take the next steps. And I hope that all of your dreams and your hopes come true. As really, I mean, you look at where you've come so far. You've done amazing things. You've moved the mountains, the literal figurative mountains. You've moved them all. You're still got ways to go in your mind, your words. You got more ways to go. But here's to getting everywhere you want to be.
Here's to 2018, the year when people swim without shorts.
Boom, there it is. I'm gonna hit stop on the podcast right there, because that is the epic way to end it. Thank you so much, Rachel. You are awesome. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, honey.